This is KGOU, and we're joined now, as we typically are on Fridays, by Adam Brooks. He's the managing editor of the Journal Record and is with us now as part of our weekly conversation. Adam, your newspaper covers business and energy, so we have to talk about Wednesday's surprising death of Aubrey McClendon. We've mentioned this before when you and I have talked about Chesapeake, but again, in the interest of full disclosure, you used to work for Chesapeake in corporate communications, both during and after Aubrey McClendon's tenure leading the company. You've sat in meetings with him. I'd like to take a minute just to reflect, what was he like, not just as a boss, but as a person?
You know, what a lot of people were posting about on social media who I worked with at Chesapeake is that they really thought he cared about his employees, and I would say I agreed with that. You know, even when the company was more than 10,000 people, on your birthday, you got a special message on your voicemail from Aubrey. He, you know, did take time to meet with every new employee until it got somewhere well north of 10,000 employees. Everybody knew him. You would see him eating in the restaurants on campus. And yeah, I had a little bit of one-on-one interaction with him, but I was in a lot of group meetings with him and town halls. And really, he was a very charismatic guy. He was genuinely funny. He had tons of energy. There was a little bit of a cult of personality maybe, but I think that he was always the smartest guy in the room, and he knew he wanted to have the best people working at his company, and he knew the way to make that happen was to treat them really well, and I think it was genuine.
And he started Chesapeake in 1989 before he turned 30, and 24 years later, he ended up having kind of an acrimonious split from the company. What exactly happened to make that relationship rocky toward the end?
Well, you really do have to think about what he did. You know, they famously talked about starting with $50,000, and at one point, the enterprise value was north of $30 billion, and that includes ups and downs with stock prices. You know, I think they dropped under a dollar. The debt that the company was built on caused a lot of problems with shareholders, especially as other companies were able to grow without the same debt, and new leadership took over because of some activist shareholders, and eventually it was just untenable for him to work with the new board.
Describe the impact he had on the energy industry and kind of the greater Oklahoma City community as a whole.
In terms of the energy industry, you know, his impact really is global. The shifts that we've seen in the last few years of America, you know, really becoming much more powerful, becoming much more energy secure, which was explicitly a goal of his. He saw it as a patriotic duty to make sure that we could produce more energy domestically and be less dependent on the Middle East and other unstable areas of the world. And in Oklahoma City, he used what he earned to help benefit the city. The expression I heard him use a lot was giving people a hand up, not a hand out.
You know, and that hand up and not a handout is interesting. My friend Graham Lee Brewer, who's a reporter at The Oklahoman, he tweeted yesterday morning that he saw a slew of social media posts about random acts of kindness that McClendon would do for his friends and his colleagues, and even strangers a lot of times. How has the community reacted, and what kind of void is his death going to leave in the city and the state?
There is a lot of sadness, and it's always going to be hard, I think, when there's somebody who was a leader just in the idea of philanthropy. Besides whatever specific projects he backed, the idea that a big employer should also be a big leader in terms of giving, I don't think that happens everywhere, and that's certainly an ethic that we have in Oklahoma City. He was a big part of that, and I hope that continues.
Finally, McClendon's death came just a day after the U.S. Department of Justice indicted him on conspiracy accusations that he colluded with another unnamed company to keep the prices of oil leases in northwest Oklahoma down. And federal prosecutors say that's just the first action in an ongoing investigation. In a statement Tuesday night, McClendon denied the charges, and he said they were completely unprecedented. What happens to this case after McClendon's passing?
As far as we know, you know, at least the case against Aubrey McClendon is over. It was a criminal charge against an individual, and you can't charge someone posthumously for a crime. We're not sure who else would be involved. We don't know who that other company is. There's a lot of speculation. It's possible that other individuals will be charged. It's possible that other companies could be involved. We don't know. We're also not sure about the future of American Energy Partners, exactly who takes over. That's a private company, so it's not quite the same as the CEO of a public company. It's a complex company that's built on many different units, and some are spun off. We know they had a failed IPO that was supposed to raise $2 billion on one of those units a couple years ago. We are still looking into what the future is going to be for that company.
Well, regardless of the controversies surrounding his business practices and some of his corporate leadership, Aubrey McClendon's death is a significant loss for the Oklahoma City community. Adam, thanks for being here to discuss it.
My pleasure.